Is it anti-piracy or anti-creativity? That's the debate over a new European copyright law and why Iceland managed to jail bankers responsible for the financial crisis when Wall Street did not. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The European Parliament will vote shortly on a controversial new copyright law. In July, they rejected the copyright directive, which would punish online platforms like YouTube for infringements in uploaded content. The BBC's Philip Hampshire reports.
Two articles within the copyright directive are particularly contentious. Article 11 could force online platforms like Facebook and Google to pay news organisations before linking to their stories. Article 13 would impose a content filter that would check every video for copyrighted material. For those who make content, including Sir Paul McCartney, they say that the law is necessary to protect them against piracy and lost revenue. Others argue it would stop creativity on the internet and restrict freedom of speech. Currently, YouTube already filters for copyrighted content, but the onus on pursuing infringement rests with the copyright holder. The new law would stop that content appearing at all and would make YouTube's parent company, Google, liable for every copyright infringement. In London, I'm the BBC's Philip Hampshire for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global oil prices are rising ahead of inventory data in the US as Hurricane Florence heads for the southeast. And the British pound is higher against the US dollar after comments from the EU Commission president on the bloc's future relationship with the UK. Jean-Claude Juncker said he welcomes Prime Minister Theresa May's controversial Brexit plan as a starting point for new trade relations. And that statement comes as the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney says he'll stay in his role till 2020 to deal with Brexit uncertainty.
We are absolutely upfront about our view of those risks. We have stress tests our banks against those risks to make sure they have enough of a safety net, both in terms of their own funds plus liquid funds, in case we had a no-deal Brexit. The Brexit discussions will come to a head later this year, and so that will take one uncertainty off the table.
Now, Mr. Carney also talked about the lingering effects of the financial crisis. New research commissioned by the BBC shows that UK wages are 3% lower than a decade ago, and the hit for those aged 30 to 39 is more than 7% in the red. And Mr. Carney sees other risks on the horizon.
The class of risk, which is new in the last decade, is cybersecurity. The defenses have to be in place, and we also have to have plans for if a bank were to be knocked out because of a cyber attack, how do we keep the system functioning? But one of the bigger risks for the global economy are developments in China. So China is a great source of growth for the global economy. It's an absolute economic miracle, lots of positives. At the same time, their financial sector has developed very rapidly, and it has made many of the same assumptions that were made in the run-up to the last financial crisis.
Mark Carney. Despite the fallout from the collapse of Lehman Brothers, zero Wall Street chief executives were prosecuted. Contrast that with Iceland, where the CEOs of three large banks and 23 other bankers were prosecuted. The BBC's Edwin Lane reports.
After 6 years of breakneck expansion on borrowed money, the waves of the global financial crisis started breaking on Iceland's shores. And in the space of just 3 days in October 2008... 92% of Iceland's banking sector was wiped out. Instead of a massive taxpayer-funded bailout, it let its banks fail.
Iceland, unlike European countries and the United States, prosecuted and convicted some of its bankers for crimes related to the banking crisis.
The small-town sheriff, who suddenly found himself responsible for pursuing Iceland's bankers, was Ólafur Thór Hauksson.
There should be proper policing in every part of our society, also in the financial system.
Ólafur Hauksson's success begs the question, how did Iceland jail its bankers when no other country hit by the financial crisis managed it?
These are difficult cases to deal with. You need resources, you need money, and a whole lot of patience. The state budget is not decided by the prosecutors or the police officers. It's decided by the politicians. Iceland had to conduct an investigation and clean up the mess.
But here's the irony. If the bankers were sacrificed to satisfy the public anger and restore trust after the crisis, a process of catharsis as well as justice, then it hasn't really worked. Hulda Thors-Dottir is a social psychologist who has studied the banking crisis.
After a collapse, like we saw in Iceland, there is no one action which will completely cure everything. Modern society is a complex mechanism, so you have to go in on so many levels.
Gylfi Magnusson is an economist at the University of Iceland, and he was, for a time, the Minister for Economic Affairs in the wake of the banking collapse.
Are there any lasting economic effects of the crisis still here in Iceland that maybe aren't so obvious?
We've had a lot of political turmoil since the collapse. So distrust in politicians is ripe. And actually not just distrust in politicians, distrust in most of Iceland's institutions is fairly weak. Iceland used to be a very closely knit and trusting society, and we certainly haven't gotten there again.
Edwin Lane reporting there. Finally, when you do make it onto that space flight, you'll want to raise a toast. So the Mumm brand in France today launches an aircraft from the heart of the Champagne region to test how bubbly copes with zero gravity. Bottoms up, up and away. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.